Blog Talk Radio.
I got a headache. There has been so much going on with our Rangers in this draft. My head is hurting. It's spinning. The draft party. Jim is in Los Angeles hobnobbing with the NHL gurus. And I don't know much from his side of the story, but from what he has previewed to me, this is going to be an hysterical and informative show, and I can't wait to see what these Ranger fans of ours feel about the draft picks. The internet boards are exploding with, well, we know what it all comes down to, folks. The fact that the New York Rangers passed on Cam Fowler. I'm not taking any sides yet, and decided to pick the Undertaker, Dylan McIlgrath, or McIlgrath, whatever you're going to say, pronounce his name. But I'm not going to take any sides on that. Also, as we reported for almost the whole summer that, and throughout the season, that Bobby Sanguinetti would not be a Ranger. It has now come to fruition. Bobby Sanguinetti has been traded to the Hurricanes, I believe, for a sixth-round pick from this year's draft and a second from next year's. So that is the deal. And now, without further ado, I have to go to Los Angeles live from the ESPN zone in Los Angeles, California. My partner, my friend, and now my live remote host, Mr. Jim Schmiedeberg. Jim, how are you?
Can you believe we're at the ESPN zone? This is like a real radio show.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Unbelievable.
Like the Jeffersons, we're moving on up.
Beans don't burn in a kitchen, baby.
That's right. Well,
how are you?
I'm drained. I don't know how, guys. I'm drained. These last 2 days have been unbelievable. I don't know how guys like Zach, who I saw at the draft party yesterday, and then he went to another party today for the second round. The young can survive. This is no country for old men, as they say. So, I don't know where we should we start with the whole. Now, I think we have a kind of a tale of two cities. I guess we'll go with you. You're right there on the spot. I want to know, first of all, was there a, I guess start from the beginning. I mean, you know, really, tell us your tale, tell your story, and we'll get to after the ninth pick, how it was feeling and what you thought was going to happen, what maybe some other people thought was going to happen. So start from the beginning,
well,
I guess.
We'll start. Wait, give me a second. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I know what was going on my end. I was at a Ranger draft party where there was, Ranger fans galore. Oh, no problem. Yeah, sometimes you got to step out. So
they wanted me to pay the bill.
Oh, well, hey, listen. You got to do what you got to do. You know, we don't have that much kind of credibility where we can get free lunches.
Right.
Once that starts, they're going to put a lot of people out of business. So give us your story and tell us what was going on in the whole bit.
All right. Well, first of all, I get to L.A. yesterday at 10:30 in the morning, right? Now, the draft starts at 4, so I've got plenty of time. I make my way down to the arena. I go to the trailer that's set up for NHL media credentials. I get my credentials. And actually, well, let me backtrack just a little bit. First, I go in the administrative office at the Staples Center to ask them where I go to get my credentials. And they point me in the right direction. And there's a gentleman there who's trying to get tickets. He's a family member of one of the draft picks, and they didn't give them enough draft picks, enough tickets for the family. So where he sees a problem, I see an opportunity. So I ask him, you know, who his nephew is, and he tells me it's Jack Campbell, the goalie from USA. And we start talking, and I said, well, I said, I can't guarantee you that I can help you. I said, but let me take you down to the media, let me take you down to the media tent and see if I can help you out there. So I do, and they were, I got to tell you, the people that were working the hospitality, quote-unquote, media hospitality tent were anything but hospitable. And they wouldn't help the guy out. So there was nothing we could do there. And I get my credentials. I'm all set. What I was going to do is I still had my bags with me and everything. What I wanted to do was go into the arena, kind of see what was going on, get the lay of the land, and then I was going to go check into my hotel. Because it was, you know, we're still talking 11:30 in the morning. So I go over to the media entrance, and they're not letting anybody in. They're not opening the arena until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's ridiculous. Last year in Montreal, we got our credentials early. Exactly. Last year in Montreal, I got my credentials at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The draft started at 7, and I had to run to the building and anything, all of us did, anything that was going on up until the draft started. So now I've got, they're not letting the media in the arena until 2 o'clock, and I can't check into my hotel until 2 o'clock, and my hotel is a subway ride from the arena. So I kill a little time here and here down by the arena. I walk around a little bit. They've got a whole scene going on. I find my way on the subway. I get to my hotel. My room's not ready. It's 1:15. I went and had some great Chinese food because my hotel was right by Chinatown.
Yeah,
I get my room is ready.
I mean, really? Do I got to hear all these details? I mean, you got
to. You wanted to hear it.
Well, I'm all right.
It's all part of the story. It's all part of the story. Because it gets better.
All right.
I get back down here. I get in the arena, right? Now, the NHL credentialed 13 members of SB Nation, okay?
Uh-huh.
And gave them 6 seats on the media riser. So there were 7 members of our... There were 7 members of the network that had no place to sit and do their work.
Oh, boy.
So, that's a problem. They credentialed 500 people. They only had room for 200. To me, this sounds like a problem.
Well, that's the NHL for you.
What I did was the New York Times didn't show up. They had 2 spots on the riser, and they didn't show up. So, as far as anybody knew, I worked for the New York Times this weekend.
Nice.
And then the draft started.
Okay, the draft starts, and you know, the crowd goes crazy or whatever. Everywhere we know holes again. Did you get a chance to, now when you were in this media, did you get a chance to see these guys at all, like talk to them, or was just you went down after the Rangers pick?
No, I went down and I did take some pictures of Hall and Seguin, all the top picks I have pictures of that I'll make a gallery on Blue Shirt Banner and put all those pictures up so everybody can see them. I mean, the first 5 picks, you couldn't get near them. And last year, I don't know if you saw the pictures, but last year when the draft picks came out, they had a little stage that they stood on, and you basically stood on the stage with them and held your little tape recorder up into their face and asked them questions. This year, the draft picks sat in a chair behind a table, and they had it roped off. So you were a good you couldn't get any closer than like maybe 4 or 5 feet to the draft pick. We all had to put our little recorders up on the table and then back away. I mean, it was like this. I don't know what why the NHL. I don't think they did a very good job this year at all.
Well, I think it's L.A. They probably don't know what the hell to do there in a hockey draft. It should be in Canada. They know what to do.
I agree.
All right. I'm in a fact-finding mission here. I want to go. We're going to go split screen here. I'm in New York City at the Hill. Jam-packed. Ranger fan Dancing Larry was there. There were about six guys from the HF boards who were there and came up to me. I want to thank them.
Was Dancing Larry was it a paid appearance for Dancing Larry?
No.
Or was there
no.
Was there a no. bar mitzvah at the restaurant? Because I hear he does those.
No, Larry. I can't say a bad word about Larry. He came up to me, shook my hand. You know, hey, bygones be bygones. Anyway, so we're hanging out and. Fans are so excited. Everybody's jazzed, and I was going around asking everybody who they wanted, and nobody wanted my guy because I wanted Niederreiter, but everybody's wanting. I want Tarasenko. I want this guy, and so the draft, you know, and I saw a little bit of Ethan Werrick, a little bit. The three draft choices from last year, Werrick, Kreider, and Ryan Bork were there. I saw Nicky Fatio. He was in the back chilling. Yeah, he was like, I can't stand this noise. You know, it's just too crazy for an older guy. I mean, even me, I was getting a little claustrophobic in there. So we're watching this draft. And I know everybody listening out there and the guys in the chat room probably experiencing the same thing. Camp Fowler is not being taken. He's dropping. And then it was like, what's wrong with Cam Fowler? Why isn't anybody taking him? And then it comes down to our pick. And then now I want to get to your point. Now, when this happens, where are you? Is there any kind of buzz? Have you talked to anybody previous to who the Rangers might take? What was going on in L.A. at this point?
I had talked to a few people. And the word was that they were going to go with Burmistrov, I think is his name.
Burmistrov,
Russian kid that got picked around. I think he got picked not long after the Rangers took McElrath.
Please don't say his name yet.
Okay.
Those people who haven't heard. So go ahead. Now, you talked to a couple people, and now did you talk to any people of note? Was there a meeting of the minds between some of the New York media, perhaps?
A little bit, yes. And I also talked to a few of our go-to people when it comes to prospects and young players and things of that nature.
Okay. All right. And it's, you know, Jay Adet's getting on me how I had the like Niederreiter. I did. I still would take him. But anyway, okay. So, now, you had a completely different experience than I had. The Ranger fans were euphoric. I mean, I felt... I've never seen such glee on their faces since 1994. And thank God I videoed it. Because what would happen next reminded me of those jet drafts in the 80s on the Rich Kotite. What I witnessed was such... I just can't unbelievable. It was just so unbelievable... But words cannot describe the dismay that these fans had. Now, they make the selection. Now, your first reaction was? Jim? All right.
My
Jim,
first reaction was, my first reaction was who?
Oh, this guy.
I had, well, yeah, I mean, you know, I had studied most of the top guys, so at least I know a little something about them, and he was just off my radar. But from what I, you know, what I gathered talking to people, he was off just about everybody's radar.
You know, and I got to say, people were inconsolable at the Hill. I heard one guy said, "We just got Wade Belak 2.0. Now, me, I have a dark sense of humor. And although I was like, how did this team pass Cam Fowler? Because I have to admit, I'm not the most educated guy on the planet when it comes to prospects. You know, I don't watch a lot of OHL and college hockey. That's just the way it is. And the thing is, though, like, I don't even think Versus had a highlight package for this kid. It was just like, plays like Darian Hatcher. And that was it. Then, when, Dallas? Was it Dallas picks the goalie? They take Jack Campbell. Or was it Atlanta? I don't remember. Whoever takes
Dallas.
The goalie next. Dallas, right? They take Jack Campbell. And then, was it Anaheim? Takes Cam Fowler. And,
yeah.
Like, Cam Fowler, it's like they couldn't say the name fast enough, so the Rangers couldn't take back their pick. Cam Fowler.
Yeah.
And then they show a highlight pass to Cam Fowler, and followed by three players in a row. The first player being Phil Housley, the second player being Brian Leetch, and the third player being Cam Fowler. And I'm going, holy, that everybody just went crazy. And people said that it was a fire save a chance. And, I mean, it was a and they are going crazy. Ranger fans, they're wearing a pitchfork on Madison Square Garden right now. The protest is picked. But on your end, when I told you about this, you said, people need to calm down. Why do you think people need to calm down?
Well, first of all, okay, this guy, the perception on him from a number of places is that he is the toughest guy in the draft. He's mean, he's tough, he's physical, he's big, he's what the Rangers need, okay? Gordy Clark talked to the media after the pick and basically said that when the top guys were gone, the guys that they felt could make the most immediate impact, and I'm not necessarily talking about stepping right into the lineup, I'm talking about this year or maybe next year. When those guys were gone, the Rangers went to the player that they felt was the best available, okay? And they felt that this guy was the best one available. Gordy Clark, and if you want to play that Gordy Clark clip, I can't guarantee. I would recommend you turn your speakers up a little bit. If you want to go ahead and play it, Eddie, let him tell the story.
Really, absolutely bad. When we really, really, really felt we saw him making a step that we didn't know we really had. He always had a size, and he was a very, very good skater for a man that's over 6'4". A boy that's over 6'4", I should say. And so we were at the World Junior, and Hamonic was with the Islanders. The Islanders, he's a World Junior, right defense. They took him. We scooted up during the World Junior to Prince Albert because we were playing there because we suspected he was going to play a lot. And he had the game that we thought he was capable of. And then we just stuck with him the whole second half. And just guys similar to Kreider, where we just kept going in periodically, everybody going in, taking a look. And his play just started taking off. And then Harmonica traded, and he took over, and basically he was that he was one of the, you know, he was the, in the number one pair of defensemen for Moose Jaw going down the stretch to try and get into playoffs, and he had a hell of a play. He had a hell of a stretch and a hell of a playoff.
Was the absence of a player like him in the organization factor into?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, my job is to take care of who's coming in, and you know, we have a good group of young kids, some talented forwards, and Kreider and Bork and Stepan and Gratchev. And, you know, a guy that plays a style like this, that is just going to be a guy that you're going to go out there. He can play the game. His game is just taking off. His puck game and his defensive game are just taking off. But he's a guy that you're going to look out there every night, and you're not going to like playing against this guy.
He was saying himself, I'm not going to be a 50-point scorer. I'm a shutdown guy. Intimidator, you know, is that good? I mean, there were a lot of defensemen on the board that seemed to have
more offensive. Yeah, and you know what? We have a lot of depth, you know, and once we got past what we thought were so-called as we talked in the press conference, franchise players, guys that would step in and be a star, then you know, we thought the best thing is to get what we think we need to bring in the organization to the good young core that's coming in. This ingredient is missing with the New York Rangers, and this is what we think he brings to us. And point wise, if you take a look at it, he all his points came in the second half. He's just taken off. This kid's just taken off.
And he'll play in Moose Jaw next year.
He'll be playing in Moose. I mean, you know, listen, they come in. You know, we said that about Delgado last year. Well, you know, another year in London, but you know Glenn, and if a guy's good enough to play, he keeps him. He doesn't care how small or tall or young they are.
So based on that second half, do you see a big offensive upside?
I'm telling you, when this kid is 22 years, you're gonna see a hell of an NHL hockey player that you're just not gonna want to play. The other teams are not gonna want to come into the Madison Square Garden, and it's the player. It's not the fighting's good. It's not a big part of the game anymore, but when he does it, it's all for the right reasons, because it's because somebody took advantage of somebody in his team. And but the thing that Impress does with the mobility he has, and clearly the, you know, he's a world-class, top-class volleyball player. The feet are tremendous already for 6'4", a little over 6'4". And, you know, the stick, the puck game that he already has is ahead of a lot of defensemen in the draft. And it was just a matter of getting ice time, and he started getting them the second half, and then he got a lot of it. He was a big reason. An eighth-place team just got into the playoffs. The eighth-place team took on the first-place team, and he was a major reason of why they almost knocked Calgary out, who won the WHL championship.
You had said a couple of weeks ago, last week, that this was going to be a good draft. Yeah, this person took. You might see guys in the team have range.
The first few. The first few. You know, after four, five.
Are you allowed
to
smoke here?
Campbell being one of them.
Do you smoke here?
It could go, and it's been all over the place. Guys have been rated 19th from going 7th, you know, a guy rated 3, 4, or 5, he's going 14th. And that's the way we thought the draft would go.
You talked at one point about, you know, sending Tarasenko back to Tarasenko. Talk to them. Is that something that you decided?
Doing what?
About Tarasenko.
Eddie.
No, I mean, that day,
really, absolutely bad.
When we really, really, really felt we saw him make a step that we didn't know we really had.
Oh, God. Would stop there for a second. Gordy was just going on about Tarasenko.
What happened was there was an article that came out about 2 weeks ago, and it was a conference call that Gordy Clark did with the media. And somebody specifically mentioned Tarasenko to him, and he liked him, and he said he liked him, and he liked what he brought to the table, but they asked him about it yesterday, and you know, they one of the beat writers said, you were excited about Tarasenko a couple of weeks ago. How come you didn't draft him? And he said, well, I was excited about Tarasenko, but that's who you mentioned. You didn't mention any other players to me. So, you know, it was kind of like a, you know, he said, if you'd have asked me about other players, I might have told you I liked them too, was basically what he said.
Yeah. Well, all right. I feel a little bit better after what I heard. See, I'm a Gordy Clark fanboy. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's just or not just, but in Gordy we trust. I'm part of that club. And when
exactly.
He said this kid's game is just taking off. Now, a lot of Ranger fans say, well, what has he done? I look at what he did with the Islanders. He did a great drafting over there. I like the core he's brought up since he's been with us. So I'm good with Gordy. And when he tells me this kid's game is just taking off and he's going to be a guy that you're going to hate to play against, it makes me feel better about the Cam Fowler thing. Now, you know, but especially, you know, the Rangers, you know, I think we have the offensive guy. They need a crease cleaner. I mean, I know it's a long way away, but when he says that he's just getting, you know, he's still developing, and at 22, he's going to be, you know, it sounds like he's saying he's going to be like a Chris Pronger type. I don't want to label the kid, but a guy, maybe a Chris Pronger puts up a little bit too many points, but like they even said, maybe a Darian Hatcher, a guy you're not going to want to play against night after night. And, you know, it's a...
He compared his style with Shea
better.
Weber. When he was asked at his press conference, he compared his style of play to Shea Weber. So, and look, like Gordy Clark said,
good points. Has this kid got enough of that? I mean, he's got enough jam to put up some good points.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But if you listen to what Gordy Clark said, and I know that audio wasn't really easy to hear, and hopefully maybe Eddie can fix that.
Did you tape that with a Fisher-Price recorder, Mike?
No, you got to understand, these things are done in hallways under the arena, and it's just, there's a billion things going on.
I know how it goes.
Yeah, you know, I got to tap my foot and get a spare square. Yeah, it's a mess. But, you know, if you listen to what Gordy Clark says, he flat out says, it's my job to bring these guys in here. Can we make Ranger fans understand that? He said, it's my job to bring them in. It's not Glenn Sather. Sending me Facebook group invitations today that Glenn Sather needs to be dragged out and back shot and shot because you don't like yesterday's pick. It's not his fault. He doesn't make the draft picks. Glenn Sather came out and talked to the media, and I have audio of that too. We'll probably have that for you Tuesday night. You know what? Nobody asked him shit about his draft picks because he doesn't have anything to do with it.
He doesn't have anything to do with it. Nothing.
Gordy Clark. And as far as I'm concerned, if this pick is good enough for Gordy Clark, it's good enough for me. You can talk about Cam Fowler. You can talk about anybody else that was out there. But you know what? We'll come back in 5 years, and we'll see if Gordy Clark was right, or we'll see if the Facebook group was right. My money's on Gordy Clark. No offense.
I mean, that's the same thing. And I'm gonna give you a little tough love here, fans, because I love you. But nobody's an expert. I mean, unless you're in the business, if you're some 22-year-old kid, pickly-faced bastard, sitting at home looking at YouTube videos of guys and making your whole mock draft or whatever have you, and you say, oh, my God, the world is falling. We didn't get Cam Fowler. I'm sorry. I love the pimply-faced kid. I love that you guys know hockey. I love that I get informed by you. But I'm going with Gordy. Until it's proven otherwise, I'm going with Gordy. Now, listen. We may be eating our words in 3 or 4 years. Maybe, you know, Puckface NYR is right. We should have taken Cam Fowler. We should have taken, you know, whatever. And you guys may be right. But right now, he's ours. Let's embrace him. Well, he probably won't be ours for another 5 years. I'll be 50 by the time this guy plays. But
I mean, you know, this whole thing is a crapshoot. You know, somebody said it in the chat room with Frosty. It's a crapshoot, and I don't care what sport you're talking about. Go look at some of, look at Ryan Leaf in football. Does anybody remember the debate that went on for months over who should be the pick, Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning? Do you remember that, Eddie? I mean, that was
yeah.
Where's Ryan Leaf?
Oh, yeah.
I heard he's in jail. You never know what's going to happen. It's a gamble. It's a crapshoot, and they can run all the tests they want and watch all the film they want. But until this guy gets on the ice, you never know what he's in the NHL. You don't know what he's going to be. I mean, you know, you could draft a guy like, you know, your first round pick, and you think he's going to be the greatest, and he doesn't pan out, and then you draft a guy in the seventh round who turns into what some people consider the best goaltender in the world. I mean, you know, it's sure you got to do a lot of homework, but there's also a lot of, you know, it's a crapshoot. I think Gordy
there's
knows what he's doing.
And I think we have some really good posts in the chat room by some guys. You know, the 2 Minute Hater, Terminator. He says, you know, there is no guarantee. McElrath, is that how you pronounce it? Because I got to get this right.
I believe it's McElrath. Yes.
Okay, McElrath will make it. There's no guarantee Fowler will make it either. You never know. Now he does say the Rangers drafted a need, and this is another thing that they're going crazy with the fans is that. In the first round, you're supposed to take best available. And by all draft boards, although I thought NHL.com had McElrath going at 12. So I don't think it was that much of a reach, but best available would have been Cam Fowler by everybody's. But the way Gordy Clark is... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I just want to say, the way that Gordy Clark emphatically said that we were going after this guy... no bones about it. Now, I have to add this other point, and then I'll let it go. I do understand Ranger fans' frustration with the lack of good draft picks. I mean, other than Stahl, now that Sanguinetti is bye-bye, you know, we haven't seen much come out of the first round. That's all I'm saying. So I do understand that. Now, go ahead.
Well, I want to let Ranger fans in on anybody that's listening. I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
Uh-oh.
If you and this is something that I don't think anybody else noticed who was down underneath there with the Rangers pick, okay? If I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this. I actually have some pictures of this from last year's draft. But when a team drafts a player, okay, you see them, they give them the jersey. They put the jersey on, and usually the high pick, the first round pick, his name's always on the back. Well, in the case of a Hall or Seguin, you know, they know they're going to draft that guy. The jersey's ready. It's an official jersey with his name stitched on it. A lot of times you got to scramble for a guy, and they give them the jersey, and then there's a Velcro strip with the player's name on it that goes over the back of the jersey, okay? And it, you know, it matches, but you can tell that it's a Velcro strip. Yeah, okay, you follow me?
I follow.
Follow what I'm saying?
I follow.
I'm over here. I was over there, now I'm over here now. All I'm going to tell you is that Mr. McElrath had his name embroidered on his jersey when he wore it.
Ah.
So
there you go.
The perception was, and I, like I said, I was the only one that noticed it, and I mentioned it to one of the good friends of the show, and he kind of agreed with me that the Rangers pretty much knew that this was the guy they wanted, and that they were going to get him at 10, and that was going to be it. So, you know, they may have looked at some, you know, and that's not to say that, you know, had, you know, something just unbelievable happened and, you know, Seguin drops to number 10. That's not to say they wouldn't completely change their thinking. But what I'm saying is that it certainly looked to me like McElrath was the guy they wanted going when they walked into the Staples Center, and that's just that's who they got.
All right.
There it is. A little inside scoop for you. And,
well,
and don't ever discount our scoops, because we told you Sanguinetti was done as a Ranger. We told you that 8 months ago.
Oh, people flipping out about that. Oh,
I'll tell you what.
Where'd they come from,
to,
these fans? Bobby Sanguinetti fans. Did anybody ever see anything out of this kid? I heard he was a good kid. Leslie Treff said he did everything that Rennie asked him. He did everything that Tortorella asked him. I understand he put forward. Did anybody see anything on the ice? I know he's young. He's 22, whatever have you. But he was drafted, what, 4 years ago? I mean, did we ever see anything that would say, oh, my God, I can't believe the guy for the Sangs? I mean, go ahead, Jim. What was your take on it?
Well, I mean, I just think that, you know, I thought he had a legitimate shot going into training camp. I thought he had a legitimate shot of making the team. You know, I thought his time had come. And I really do believe that whatever conditioning issues that we heard about that he had in training camp, I believe that he never recovered from that in the coach's eyes. I think we all know that his coach carries a grudge. And I just think that what other explanation would there be for the two call-ups that I believe he got? What did he get? 2 games all season? The guy,
yeah.
For a while, he's leading the AHL in scoring for defensemen, and the Rangers were, you know, shuffling defensemen in and out of the lineup, Ilkka Häkkinen back and forth, and you're going to tell me that you couldn't bring Wade Redden being awful, Roosevelt being awful. You're going to tell me you can't give Sanguinetti 5 games and see what happens? I just think he got on the wrong side of that coach, and that was it. One, like you call it, the circle of trust. Once you are out, there is no getting back in, Fokker.
Frosty's cracking me up with Sanganara, Sayonara.
What did we call him? Bye-bye, so long, Guinetti.
Yeah, bye-bye,
like
so long.
One.
Listen, I guess maybe because he was a New Jersey guy and maybe we felt an attachment to it. Listen, I'm glad he's getting a chance to play. I hope he doesn't turn into a star because then we're going to look like fools again. But I thought for what they got for him was pretty good. Now, who did they wind up taking with that 6th pick this year?
Let me go.
Somebody I just got back from a party. I'm all drunk.
I got the draft tracker up. I can tell you in a second here. They took Jesper.
We're in trouble already.
He's
Ooh.
A Swedish guy. Jesper. His name is Jesper. Not Jasper, Jesper Fast. F-A-T-S-H, like fast with an H at the end.
I think
and
he's
supposedly
joking.
He's a,
riding
he's
a Vespa
very,
really fast?
He's a Swedish guy, very fast. And, you know, Gordy Clark said that, you know, when you get to those later picks, you take a guy based on certain attributes and you just hope he pans out. So they're picking him based on his speed, and they're hoping he pans out.
All right. And you get a second-round pick next year.
Yeah.
I thought that's a good deal for a guy that's not going to play in your organization, folks. Apparently he's not going to play. I mean, it didn't look any. There was a log jam, and he's been around the organization. He's been. Go ahead.
Well, I see what you're saying, but if you compare it apples to apples, what would you say if I told you right now, okay, we're going to trade our first-round pick, and in return, we're going to get a second-round pick and a sixth-round pick? Wouldn't you say, well, that's pretty bad value?
Right. Yeah, I would think it was a bad value, yeah. Is that what I'm supposed to think?
You can think whatever you want. I'm just saying when you look at it from that angle, I understand you're looking at it from the angle where you're getting something for a guy that's probably never going to play, but the I'm looking at the end result where you have a first-round pick that you've traded for a number two in a year and a Swedish guy that's fast. Bork, bork, bork.
Well, I think it's different because those guys are, I mean, the Vespa guy, the Jesper guy there, he's a little bit, they're unknown quantities, and you don't know what you're going to get next year. We've seen Sanguin any play.
You can take my picture. I'm on the radio here. Go ahead. There you go.
Oh, wow. Photo ops and everything over there.
No, I just kind of glommed into the back of a picture somebody was taking. I just kind of leaned over the railing and put my hands out. So someday that Japanese family will look back on their trip to L.A. and go, who that? Who that man?
Really, I mean, it's very shocking that Japanese people would have a camera. I find that very unusual in L.A. Unbelievable. But, I want to say to you this, and listen to me now and listen to me later.
Later. Hear me now, believe me later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's very mixed, the reaction to this. A lot of people are in the chat room are saying that maybe we fooled ourselves into thinking we have stockpiled our that we have a good farm system, but we have been rated like in the top 12, I think top 13. And Ricky O has come in. The 2010 Dagoon run draft is over.
I know Ricky liked the McElrath pick. He texted me last night. Love the pick.
I got to tell you a funny story about Ricky, who did not show up at the party again. This guy is like, shows up to these things. So,
I'll tell you what, can you hold the story for about 10 minutes? Because I'm about to run out of battery and I'm going to move to another location.
All right, you call back in and
give me about 10
we'll
minutes.
All right, we'll do what we do here.
All right, I'll talk to you in a few.
Okay. I don't know what
talk
we
about
do.
Talk about the Islanders.
I will never talk about the Islanders, except did you see Big Wang and Little Wang do the whole kit and caboodle again?
Yes, I did.
Oh, God, give me a break.
All right, I'll talk to you in a few. Bye.
Okay. So I'm at the Hill, and there's a couple of guys. They're from the HF boards, and we were talking, and it was talking, and it was great. And you know what? Some guy walks up to me from HF boards, and he says, you know who would like this pick? Dagoon. Ricky. I started laughing. I said, hey, he's somewhere going crazy. And I said, this is his pick. I said, so, Ricky, you've got a certain celebrity status over there. Well, anyway, I don't know. I'm still on a fence. I really, Cam Fowler, Ryan Bork, I got a chance to talk to him. Ryan said he would have loved to have Ryan on the team. He's a great player, but, he said he didn't know much about the McElrath. And I talked to Ethan Werrick about it. Ethan Werrick said, this guy is a tough kid. And he said it with some urgency and some forthrightness. Not like he was just hosing me, And I got to tell you guys, I have a lot of highlights of my career, but my highlights of my ridiculous internet radio career was when Ethan Werrick came running up to me. He comes up, he goes, you were the best interview I've ever done. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He goes, I had so much fun on that interview. So it was just like, it was hysterical. And I was talking to him, and he says, the injury is fine. I think some of you guys have read it. He said that he's been invited to the camp for the World Juniors for Team USA, and I hope he makes it. He's a fantastic kid. And Chris Kreider met him. Kid is tall. He's going to be fast. He's young. Ryan Bork, guys, I'm going to be frank with you. Guy's freaking short. I mean, we're talking mouth short. This guy is... I don't know how a guy like that could play in the NHL. I'm sure it's done. You got what? Your Travis Sajak, the Pat Sajak, your Martin St. Louis. But this guy is short. But he's a dead ringer for his father. And I think if he ever turns pro, he will never have any problem with the ladies. Similar to yours truly, who has something else in common with Ryan Bourque. We are ladies' men. Actually, that's a complete lie. Moving on, maybe I'll open the phone calls here. Maybe we get some of you guys to call in and tell you what you think about the draft. The phone number to call tonight is area code 646-478-4692. I'd like to find out what you guys think about the pick. It's really all about you. I just know that everybody was so inconsolable at that draft. People just left and said, I can't believe this. One guy yelled at the screen at him and went, please don't suck. It was so funny. It was an experience that I will never forget. And, you know, listen, we got him. He's ours. It still hurts because – It felt like, again, we have to buck the system. We can't just go with what the board says. We have to go in our own wacky direction. And for what Jim has told me, the Rangers were probably the most secretive, non-friendly, non-dealing with the media, non-responsive, whatever you want to call it, of any team. I mean, again, we've always compared them to the KGB. And from what he tells me, and I haven't heard the whole story, is that it was like that. And we got a call. We got a phone caller. Area code 201-248. You're on the air with the Mouse and shortly Jim. Welcome to the program. State your case. Okay, that person is gone. Let's go to the next phone call. Area code... Area code 702-221. We're going to you. 702, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you? Who is this?
Good, I'm calling. Yeah, my name is Richard.
Oh, Richard, how you doing?
Good, good. I'm calling from Las Vegas, retired.
Oh.
I'm in my 70s. I've been a Ranger fan since I went to grammar school.
Wow.
And,
my pleasure. This is a great pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, I go back a long time, so I had a lot of heartaches. But anyway, one of the saddest things I can think of today is giving up on Sanguinetti. Because at the draft, I don't know if you remember, we beat Bobby Clark to Sanguinetti. He wanted him. He was coming up next. And when he went up to the podium, he turned around and he had to ask his scouts, Who are we going to draft? Because he was so set on Sanguinetti. And the sad thing about it is the guy they drafted after Sanguinetti is Claude Giroux, who was going to be a star.
Right.
So this is really a sad day for me. You know, because I, of all the guys I hate in the league, it's
Bobby
Clark.
Clark.
And those Flyers, I don't know if you remember those Flyers.
Oh, yeah.
Those years. I mean, they were a disgrace to hockey. They really were.
You know what really bothered me about those Flyers and Bobby Clark particularly, is he would be dirty and he would start stuff, but he would never finish it, and all his goons would protect him, and they never could get to him. That just it just annoyed me, and it still sticks with me to this day.
Yes.
And I kind of addressed it when they did that Broad Street Bully thing on HBO. And they show this one clip where they show Bobby Clark cheap shouting Bobby Orr in front of the net. And it disgusts me. And that guy, so you're right. In a way, you got Sanguinetti, who we kind of gave it to Bobby Clark and the Flyers. They get Claude Giroux, who is a fantastic player. So we get hurt both ways.
Very, very sad. You know, I've discussed it with a couple of my family members. The Rangers of 94 should have played that Flyer team because they would not have pushed the guys we had on that team in 94, we had some of the toughest guys in the league, starting with Messier at the top and going down to somebody like Joey Kosar. Can you imagine that team playing those Flyer teams? I mean,
you're right. And those teams, the 94 team had a thing that I always, they hated to lose.
Yeah.
And you really need to have that mentality. And I haven't seen it in a Ranger team since, or, you know, previous to back, you know, I mean, you've been following this team a lot longer than I have, but, you know, the Emil Francis days in the 70s, where, you know, the team hated to lose.
Yeah, you know, the Cat refused to go down low and wallow in the mud with the Flyers, you know, so he refused to bring any fighters in. If you remember that team, we had the Rattel line, we had the Kerchuk line, we had the Stemkowski line, and we didn't have any tough guys on the blue line. And he refused to bring in goons, you know, and he paid for it.
We've had Emil on the show a couple times, and I've got to tell you something. I mean, he's the most pleasant, nicest guy, but if you mentioned Philadelphia Flyers to him, he still calls him a bunch of goons. He's never forgiven them for that.
Yeah.
And he was so glad when the Canadians beat them and ended their two straight Stanley Cup run.
So I'm so
glad that a guy like you's been following. What's the secret? I tell you, I've been a fan for 30 years. I can't see, 30 more coming on. Really, seriously,
I'm the 19th. Well, I loved it because I played, you know. I played, grew up in Brooklyn, and we played roller hockey. We had leagues in the city. Any of you guys from Brooklyn?
A lot of guys are from Brooklyn. I'm originally from Queens.
There's
a lot of people who listen to the show from Brooklyn.
Yeah, Queens played a lot of roller hockey, but we had leagues, and we had playoffs, and we had, at the end of the season, they gave out medals, so it was great. So
that sounds awesome.
You know, yeah, so I got a tremendous love for the game, and I've never lost it, you know. And even though I'm out here, I have the NHL package, so I still see all the games.
Well, that's fantastic. Obviously, you know the controversy with the first round pick with the draft. Did you follow that at all? What's your opinion on it?
Well, I don't know. I got a lot of confidence in this Gordy Clark. He's brought in some really good players. You know, I mean, Kreider looks terrific. I love Kreider. Bork, even though he's small, he's a tremendous skater, and he's very smart on the ice. He's really a good head on his shoulders. Stephens is good, and McDonough. And they've got a couple of Russians that they've drafted that are coming over to the camp. One guy they got in that Montreal trade, he's coming back over. He's a pretty tough guy. And they got another kid they drafted in the 7th round a couple of years ago. And Nemchinov is a general manager. You remember
Sergei Nemchinov, a great Ranger.
Yeah.
As far as
he's a GM in Canada and Russia, and he made this kid the first pick in his draft. His name is Pushkin, Pushkin. So keep an eye on him. He's coming over for this camp they're having. You probably can ask Jess about him. Jess probably knows. He knows everything about the Rangers.
Jess was owning that place that I said when Jim was telling me. He was asking all the questions. This guy in the chat room says the guy's name is Pashnin, Pashnin. Is that the guy you're talking about?
And then Gino
says the kid is the real deal.
He drafted him number one in his draft. And we were afraid, you know, everybody was afraid he wasn't coming over, but he says he wants to play here, so we'll see when he comes over how good he is.
I agree. Go ahead.
No, I have a lot of confidence in Clark.
I think so.
Oh?
I think so, too.
I got to tell you,
I appreciate the phone call. And listen,
I want you to call in again. I'm learning to.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's like Bill Chadwick. Like Jim Gordon used to say, Bill Chadwick. Knowing you is like going to college.
Listen, I remember Bill Chadwick when he was a referee in the NHL. You know, I'll tell
you
a funny story about
it. For the hand signals? Did you actually tell Bill about the hand signals?
Yeah, he is. You know, I got to tell you, a funny thing. When I was a kid, in high school, we had GO cards, and we got into the garden. We got into the garden. We had to sit in the, I don't know if you remember the old garden. We had to sit in the
side. No, that was before my time.
Oh.
But anyway, go ahead.
The side balcony, and with the GO card, we got in for 50 cents. And you had to run up. You had to run up to the top. God knows how many flights of stairs. Because you wanted to get the first row. Because that was the only row that you could see the whole ice. If you sat any place else, actually, you had a stand. You couldn't see the whole ice. But still, we went anyway, you know.
How old of a person were you at this point?
I was in, high school, 15, 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
What year are we talking, 19?
I was born in 34, so late 40s, 50s, you know.
Wow. Okay.
I go back to when they almost won the cup in 1950. I was following him then.
You got to call in every week. I could talk to you all the time. I love talking all the time. Did you see Bones Raleigh play?
Bones, I saw, sure, number seven. He was the big Rocket players. What's that?
So who are some of your all-time favorite Rangers?
Well, I go back to one guy I really liked that Jess has an award named after him, Dean Prentice, who played with Bathgate. I saw Bathgate's whole career, by the way, from when he was a rookie. And Prentice was his line mate for his whole career. But he was really a terrific player. He was a hard worker. Bathgate was the star, but Prentice was like the kind of the glue that held the line together. So they always, those two were always together, you know. So Bathgate was a great player. He was my.
Now, how did you feel when Andy got traded to Toronto?
I was sick. I was sick.
Yeah. That was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, I think they were kind of at the end of their road. You know, they were. I mean, I don't know. They couldn't win with him, so, you know, they kind of gave up on him. But,
I hope you call in every week now, because I'm telling you, the people in the chat room are going crazy. All right, they're giving you a little hard. They're giving you a little shots. This guy goes back to the original three, one guy said. But we all, I'm telling
you. That's okay. I still got a sense of humor.
Yeah,
it's okay.
We love
you. I still have it.
We love you, and we're going to move on, and I hope you call next week. I'm telling you, great call.
What are you on?
Thank you.
What? When are you on? Every Saturday?
Every Tuesday night. We're just doing a special Saturday night broadcast because of the draft.
Okay.
Every Tuesday night. My name is Eddie. My partner is Jim, and we do this show every Wednesday night, 8 to 10 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening to me.
No problem. I loved it. Oh. Bye-bye.
Oh. Okay, bye.
There you go. Wow. I may fire Jim after this and have this guy. Area code 201. You're on the air with Eddie. How are you?
Mouthy.
Oh, Ricky. Oh, how
What's
are
up?
You, Ricky?
Hey, Mouth, I got to get your cell phone number, man. I tried calling your house to tell you that we were invited over by Dubinsky to Avery's place for the draft.
Get out of here. Brandon's
I don't have your cell. I called your house phone. I didn't have your cell phone to get you.
Oh, God damn it.
So we were over there. I was over there. So I apologize because we didn't have communication, but we'll fix that tonight. The draft of the goon is over, and I got to say, I absolutely love. I'll tell you what, I might have became a Tortorella fan after this draft.
Yeah,
if this is the style we're going to play, north-south, baby. North-south, through the boards, through the glass. We drafted The Undertaker, we drafted Kane, and in between we got some guys with skill.
Now, I want to know
Because I told you, that story I just told before about the, what they said is that, who's doing this trip? The goon? And I say, lay off Ricky. I like him. He's a good guy. The guy goes, no, he's okay, but he just goes a little too far. I said, well, hey, listen, I go too far, too. But
I'll tell you, I was sitting Tuesday night, Mouth, waiting for Nyland, and I told Frozy in the chat room, I said, we should grab this kid. I said we should trade down and grab him. I thought we would take him somewhere between 13 and 18. I didn't think that we needed to take him at 10. But I'll tell you what, if you like Jeff Bookaboom, you're going to love this kid. He's a throwback player. He's big, and he's mean.
Yeah. Well, after hearing that Gordy Clark clip, I don't know if you heard that. Jim recorded Gordy Clark and what he said about the kid. I started getting excited about him. I mean, he said that the kid is just taking off right now. And he's like, the fighting's a bonus, but that's not part of his game. Is that he is skating is improved.
One thing I heard about the kid is that he didn't even play full-time hockey till he was 13 years old. So I think he's about 4 years behind the rest of these guys as far as being a natural athlete. He waited till he was 13 to play. So if that's the case, and this year at 18, he's blooming, could you imagine what this kid's going to be at 22, and he's got 3 years to grow? He might be 6'7".
Right. That's right. I mean, but could he be another Ron Talakowski?
Come on. Winnipeg, he punched the glass instead of the guy's head. He busted his hand. That was the end of Talakowski.
Wasn't he a football player, converted a hockey player?
No, that was Jay Caulfield was a middle linebacker at North Dakota. That story about Caulfield was the hockey team was short a player one night, and he used to go watch all the games, so they gave him skates, and that's how he became a player. And he ended up making it to the NHL.
Yeah, I think he became a trainer after that as well.
Mario Lemieux's personal trainer.
Right, there you go. See, yeah, I'll tell you a lot of information here. So you're loving the pick. You're in heaven. You didn't want a Cam Fowler. You didn't think that was the right pick. Maybe this guy would have lasted to the second round. But I'm seeing a lot of Ranger fans in the chat room. Jay, I think it was Jay of the Dead, said that Dallas had pegged this guy, that he was going to go.
11th. Dallas plans on taking him next. But here's what I don't like about Fowler, Mouth, which didn't come out into the draft, and a couple people have said it on different boards. People are questioning Fowler's heart, saying he's afraid to get hit, he's afraid to get dirty, and he might have dropped even further because they said that the kid just doesn't seem like he wants to do anything except play offensive hockey, and in his own zone, it's like, okay, que sera, sera. They said he doesn't want to get – how do you have an NHL defenseman that doesn't want to get hit? Oh, yeah, that's right. We have Redden.
Or you want to hit or not be hit. You know, the whole thing. Now – maybe you know this because I was so drunk last night, ladies and gentlemen. It was unbelievable. I was bombed. I didn't get home till 4 in the morning. And you know, I'm an older gentleman here, and I'm not in the best of shape, fan. And as you know, I freaking came in. My mind is jelly. Cam Fowler have some disciplinary problems as well with the junior team? Was he the guy?
Oh, I'm not sure about that, Mouth. I don't know about that.
Suspended or for 6 days or something? I don't know. Maybe somebody in the chat room. Maybe I'm thinking of some. Maybe I'm thinking of Cam Barker.
Barker was definitely suspended. You're thinking of Cam Connor, I think, Mouth, if you were that drunk.
Cam Barker, I think, was on the Hawks.
Mouth, let's talk about our 7th-round pick because I'm excited. Like, I don't even care about the first round. Let's talk about
All right, I don't know. Like I said, I walked in, like, right before game time. We got another call, Ricky, but go ahead with your 7th-round pick. Tell me.
Just real quick, Mouth. The guy is 6'5", 215 pounds, and he's mean. This guy is the next Stu Grimson. We're talking about a guy who doesn't shoot well, doesn't pass well, doesn't skate great. But he takes star players, and he runs them through the boards, and he physically intimidates the other team. This is the type of guy that the Rangers have been pushed around with for 20 years, and we've never drafted. And now we got a guy that's going to go out, and he's going to run Sidney Crosby, and he's going to knock somebody out. This is the type of team that – and I don't want to go to 1970s goonery, don't get me wrong. But for the first time, I think the Rangers brought a gun to a knife fight. And I really like where Gordy Clark went yesterday.
Now, I see Jay and Dennis saying now we have Stahl and McElrath. Don't get too crazy because apparently the Glenn Sather announced today that the talks between him and Mark Stahl, if he had to describe it, would be the difference would be a chasm. So now it's going to be a whole long drawn out. Nothing can happen easy with this guy. It's the, if it's not signing some hooky fluky free agent. With our own guys, it's always some nightmare negotiation. It becomes the negotiator.
I told you 3 weeks ago, Mouth, on your show, I said that Stahl is going to hold the Rangers over a barrel because he does not like John Tortorella. I told you that, and I said this was going to get nasty. And everybody said that, no, he loves it here. Watch, this negotiation is going to turn very ugly, Mouth.
Well, you know, listen, I put some trust in you, not as much as Gordy Clark. And apparently your trust is in Gordy Clark. And I got to tell you, Ricky, because guys our age, I mean, you're a little bit younger than me, but, you know, when I told my friends of my age, they approached me. They were like, feel the wrath of Michael Gray. You know, and they were all excited. Finally, we said, no, we don't want wimps. I don't want no Europeans. You know, it was the whole thing at this get-together today. And when I tell my friend Tom, who's one of my best friends, he's a big dude, and I tell him that they got this guy in the seventh round, he's going to go nuts.
Oh, I went nuts, Mouth. I loved it. You don't understand. I'm thinking 1981 Rangers right now. I'm thinking going into Philly in preseason and busting heads.
Come on. Hey, who knows? Fighting might be banned by the time these guys come up. Who
yeah,
knows?
He'll never play for us anyway. He'll sign with the Islanders and come in and probably kill Stahl.
All right, Ricky.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Take care, bro. I'm glad you got your way.
Good night,
for you.
Take
care. There you go. There's Ricky Elias the Goon calling in. Loves the picks. Let's go to area code 623-313. You're on the air with the Mouth on Blue Shirt Fan Radio. Hello.
Yeah, this is your partner.
Oh,
I'm having internet. Actually, I'm having Skype issues, it looks like. I can't get signed into Skype. I don't know what's going on here.
The Goon, I don't know if you heard it. He's pleased his punch. I tell you, there's a lot of guys still with the Cam Fowler. Listen, I don't blame you. We will see. We will see. That's all we can do. But, again, I don't think any of us really are experts in this point. And I don't think there's enough tape that we've seen to really make a clear judgment either way, although, you know, general consensus had Fowler rated much higher. I mean, the Rangers always have to kind of buck the system, and I think that's what's our problem here, is that we with just cause, we should have no faith in the Rangers and what they do. They have never given us faith, but I really think that with Gordy Clark, I think this guy knows his P's and Q's, and he obviously feels very confident. I mean, this isn't like, well, he is dead, you know, he's dead on confident about this kid. So, and his projection that he's just going to get better. So,
right.
I like what he's done so far. Now, Jim, let's get down to the stories. I want to know what's going on. Who did you meet? Give us the gossip.
I'm laughing. I'm sitting inside a hotel here. I'm still trying to get an internet connection going here, and it's going slowly, but I'm working on it. Why don't you hit me with the questions as you did before the show started, and I'll answer them and relate the stories.
Okay. Well, I'm always curious about, you know, we got a little radio show going on here. We got the best fans in the world. Everybody knows that goddamn shit. But you know we're getting our feet wet in the Ranger media, and I asked right away, who did you meet in the Rangers media, or players or brass, and were they douches or were they good people and this and that? And he said, well, some guys were douches, some guys were nice. So let's go in the media right now. Who did you meet? First of all, did you meet Steve Zippe?
Yes, I did.
And is he aware that he stole my saying?
I don't. He might be aware of it, but it didn't come up in conversation. I'll put it that way.
Oh, so you didn't stick up for me, old pal of mine?
What? Come on. Realistic.
All right. So tell us how the Steve Zipperhead thing goes. I mean, Steve Zipperhead.
I met Steve Zippe, and he was very nice to me. My best friend. Hey, how you doing? How you been? How's it going? Blah, blah. Nice to see you. Blah, blah, blah. Talked about this one. Talked about that one. Who we're going to draft. I don't think he's going to be there. Blah, blah, blah. But he loves me. Until he starts writing about me. Then it's don't read the internet. Don't like this. Don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. You know. What are you going to do?
All right.
Still can't get into this
nice.
Goddamn Skype.
He was nice. He was cordial.
Very.
I heard you had a meeting of with Obernauer of the, what did he write for the Daily News?
Yes. That was kind of interesting. As I was talking to Mike, and I said, listen, I said, the article you did a couple of weeks ago on the 10 years of Say Their Failure, I said it was absolutely brilliant. I said we all really enjoyed it. And he said, well, thank you very much. He said, I appreciate that. And I said to him, I said, look, I got to ask. I said, did you get any backlash from that story? And he says, well, 2 days later, when Glenn Sather wanted to talk to somebody in the media, he went to Larry Brooks. He says, does that count as backlash? So I said, well, I said, we had the audacity to write about the Fire Sather rally. I said, 2 days later, they cut us off the press releases. I said, does that count as backlash? And he just said, he says, I don't understand this organization, how they do things. He says, this PR department, he says, they're scared to death, and he says, they just want to control information. I said, well, it's like if they figure if nobody talks about it, nobody will realize how bad they are. I said, they think Ranger fans are stupid. And we're not.
I still don't get that. This is New York. And the Ranger fans all around, the Ranger fans in general, and hockey fans, we know what's going on. What are you trying to fool a New Yorker? You cannot bullshit a bullshitter, as they say. And I'm sorry if I'm using any language for our under 14 viewers, but I'm sorry. You cannot try to bamboozle us. We know what's going on. We know that Wayne Redden isn't the best first passer in the league. And I know you have a sound clip that we're going to unleash, I think, next week, where Glenn lets loose some comments about this pick. It's the way the PR department is just, they think we're stupid, that we don't realize for 10 years this team has stunk the joint up. And 10 years... Go ahead, Jim.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you mentioned that we might have young fans listening, and I'm glad you reminded me, because I wanted to mention that after the draft, well, during the draft, and then I spoke to her after the draft, I met a very nice young girl whose name was Afton, and her dad, Thomas. Afton was wearing her Wayne Gretzky jersey, and dad had his Ryan Callahan jersey. They were the only Ranger fans I saw at the draft besides Marcy Braverman. And I told them to make sure they listened to the show tonight, that I would say hello to them. It was very nice to meet them.
And nice.
she was very excited to be at the draft, and they live out here in California. And her and her dad were very nice, And I hope you're listening. Okay. Excited to have you. We hope you'll come back. But,
yeah.
Dad, just so you know, sometimes you might have to cover Afton's ears there, because there's some stuff you might not want her to hear.
Especially when we start talking about, well, Glenn Sather's name gets around, thrown around, it gets crazy. So,
right.
Okay, we've done the Obernauer. So, Obernauer, nice guy.
Obernauer, yeah, he's the goods.
He's the goods. All right. You meet anybody else from the press? Anybody we might know?
I met a certain certain New York Post writer. Of course, he was there as well.
Larry Brooks? Brooks?
Dancing Larry Brooks was there, of course. I think that's what we should call him. From now on, that's his nickname.
Yeah.
Dancing Larry Brooks.
All right, let's get the skinny. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to beanswax. Tell us about Dancing Larry Brooks.
Dancing Larry Brooks was very
weird.
I don't want to see. Well, I don't want to say Larry. I don't want to say he was standoffish. I don't think Larry's a real personable guy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't get. I got little more than a hey, how you doing from Larry.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, and you know, I don't even know if Larry really, really knows who I am. Steve Zippe, he knows who I am. You know, Obenauer, when I told him who I was and where I was from, he knew right away. So, you know, I mean, we know these guys are checking us out. So,
well, Obenauer's a little bit younger than most of those guys. Most of those guys
were
born in the Stone Age, so he knows what the internet is. So.
Right. So, those were the. There was one other gentleman there who covers the Rangers. He does it for a website, and we don't like to mention his name, but he was there as well. And being the Ranger employee that he is, he completely ignored me.
Are you talking about Mr. Cerny?
I might be. I don't want,
moron. Let me tell you something. You know what? You ignore Jimmy, you ignore me. First of all, let me go off on a little minor rant. They had an interview on Ranger.com about with the, he is terrible. Terrible. He is an absolute terrible interviewer. He had Gordy Clark on their video thing. He was looking at his laptop more than he was looking at Gordy. He's a total corporate shill. You ignore Jimmy, you ignore me, you're dead to me. Jim Cerny and his Mr. Peebles, whatever that kid Goebbels, that kid Stephen Goebbels, whatever his name is, you're both punks. You stole our idea, you stole our internet radio idea, and you rangerized it. You made it into a email questions. What's email questions? You want to call in? They won't go face to face with the Ranger fan. That's why we have this show. It's for the fans. All right. Anyway,
that's why we're successful, and that's why when we go out in public, people know who we are, and nobody knows who they are. But anyway, I digress.
All right, now hold on 1 second. We got another call. I'm taking calls here. Area code 848. You're on the show with Jim and Eddie. Hello. Area code 848-218.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hello.
Hey,
what's going on? You're on the air, brother.
It's Scott. What's going on, guys?
Scott, how are you?
Pretty good. I don't know. Yeah, I kind of agree. I was watching an interview you were watching with Cerny when he was talking to Clark. That's all he was. He was just staring at Clark's looking at him like, aren't you going to look at me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a professional interviewer, but if you're on the, you're talking to the head of scouting on the day before the draft, and he's not looking him in the eye. He's looking at his laptop. Well, he's got. It was very unprofessional. I mean, not that I'm a professional, but still. And the questions that they asked him were so much softball questions. I mean, come on, ask him something. I know he's not going to give you. Go ahead, Scott.
You try to get some information out of him. Try to get like the man's like actual viewpoint on something instead of just the obvious answer that we all know he's going to say.
I mean, I don't expect Gordy Clark to give us who he's going to draft. But
I mean,
I haven't heard. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know what really got me about that interview, Scott? Was he didn't ask him about what's the progression of the guys you drafted last year. How do you think they're coming along? Wouldn't that be pertinent to the draft of this year, too? Like, Chris Kreider, how do you like what he's doing so far? What do you think? Ethan Werrick's injury. You think that may affect, you know, stuff like that?
Yeah.
He didn't even ask them.
I don't know. I even, because they had that whole submit questions thing. I just submitted, like, two questions asking that, how does he think he's progressing, and saying, like, well, with the last couple drafts, you've gone basically the defensive route most of the time. Like, which route do you think you would kind of go this year, whether it's offense or defense? Of course, they don't ask the question to him, but I don't know. It's kind of biased.
You got to ask questions like, can you ask Chris Drury what it was like to win the Little League World Series?
Those are the kind of questions they want.
Can you ask Brian Leach what his greatest memory as a Ranger is?
Ask Mark Messier what he thinks of the city.
Can you ask Glenn Sather what kind of cigar he smokes?
I like Scott. Ask Mark Messier what he thinks of the city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, come on. They treat us like 3-year-old children. I mean, they're afraid to go head to head with the Ranger fan because they know they'll get so proved wrong on everything. And did you see that piece of propaganda they put out a couple weeks ago that Evgeny Grachev was ahead of schedule? Somebody!
What a load.
I mean, you just have to look at the stats. You don't even have to watch a game.
Oh, God. Like, all right, granted, he tore it up in the OHL, just destroyed the league. But he did nothing this year.
Right. I'm not saying the guy's a bust, but to go the way things ahead of schedule.
I would definitely not say he's ahead of schedule. Maybe he's on schedule as a rookie in the AHL after the jump from the OHL.
Yeah, a big jump.
But to say he's ahead, no. Or that? Did you see that peak? That piece on Michael Pashnin?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they were saying how he's ready to come over to the country and ready to play for the Rangers. The kid has no mind for the U.S. for the NHL. No mind for the U.S. He loved it in the KHL, from what I've read. They're being overly optimistic. The kid's not coming over here. He doesn't care. He's making buttloads of money in the KHL. You know, playing in his home country. Why is he going to want to come over here, make pennies on the dollar he's making over there, and have nowhere near the amount of hype? He was first overall in the KHL draft, the first draft pick ever in the KHL. He's going to want to come over to the NHL and play in the minors? Oh, of course. That's what I would love to do.
Listen, they people know where to come. You listen to this show, you know, people are going to talk, and you're going to get the straight deal. Over there, I don't know, they're running some kind of cult over there, where everybody's got to fall in line, and everybody's mesmerized.
Can you ask Adam Graves if he was a tree, what kind of tree he would be?
All right, Scott, I got to move on. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it, bro.
No problem.
Take care. I love these questions you're asking, Jim.
Aren't they great? These will all be answered on the next Ranger Radio, if you can find it.
Yeah, if you could find it. They don't do broadcasts in the summer, I don't think. Anyway, we got the calls are flowing in. They're coming in like Custa did on Geronimo. I hope it doesn't end in the same way. We're going to area code 786. 704, you're on live with Jim and Eddie.
Hey, guys, this is Bob from Miami. I hope you can hear me this time.
Bob, welcome to the show. We can hear you. Thank you. Long time, no talk.
Yeah, I know the problem with the computer, with the calls, but listen, everything you said with Sather and all that stuff, we don't even want to go there. I'm also a Gordy Clark fan, and when I heard listened to the draft, and I heard that they drafted him, and everybody's faces dropped, including mine, but then they said his nickname was The Undertaker, and I said, well, at least we got somebody maybe that'll hit someone for a change. And all we've been talking about, and you talk about, and old-time hockey, and, you know, being physical, and the Rangers being run over, and their big conversation was they signed a Hobbit from Finland, another 5 foot, you know, 4 foot six guy, that how's he going to last? And, you know, Philadelphia keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we keep getting smaller. But I think the worst news is that, say there is, just like you said, once again, if you're a Ranger and your contract is up, he doesn't want to pay you. So now Stoll, our best defensive player and the king, you know, the linchpin of the defense, is now they're having contract problems. This is Dubinsky all over again, and we're back in another situation once again created by our mastermind. Amazes me.
You know what it is? This is my theory with Seda. He is a, you know, he's an egomaniac. And this is, even you go back with Dubinsky, and if you even go back with Antropov, when Antropov came out of him with the high number, he didn't want to have anything to do with him. You know, this is a give and take process. You know, the guy comes at you, of course he's going to come up with you the highest number. He's not, yeah, what's the prestige in playing for the Rangers right now that you're going to take a hometown discount? You know, I mean, it's New York, granted, but the team stinks. Antropov came up with $3 or $4 million. He said, no, that agent is out of his mind. Meanwhile, he'll go sign a Kotelik for the same amount of money. We all know what kind of year Antropov had in Atlanta. He was great. We could use a guy on the left wing like that, on the wing. And then Dubinsky, and then now this with Stoll. It's ridiculous. It's his ego. He wants – it's like, what is it, supposed to be a pleasure to play for this guy?
I don't think anybody that's I can't believe that every fan and everybody that calls in, and certainly there's a cast of people that to me sound like pretty much what know what's going on. We may not know who the junior players are and who the OHL guys are and so on, but certainly when you watch them, you can see that this is such a dysfunctional team. The coach wants one team. Your two star players and your number one star player is Lundqvist. And then if that's your star player, how come you have no defensive players? And to have Redden on that team, the money that he paid him, the money that he paid Drury, and the fact that somehow we got under Gomez's contract, which was a miracle, you just go down the list, what decisions that has he made? You know, in getting players, like everybody says, free agents, he goes crazy. And I think the only reason – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I agree with you. He goes willy-nilly on free agents. But when it comes down to signing your own, the guys we've seen, like you said, I've seen Mark Stoll. I know he's one of the best shutdown defensemen in the league. Again, like you said, the linchpin. They should back the truck up for this guy. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the only it's him, Henrik, and Gaborik out there.
Yeah.
That's the whole team.
I mean, the truth is, as much as, you know, we look at all the other players, you know, all right, there's, you know, a couple other guys that are, you know, but we only have three stars, and even you can say Stoll is still not at that star level, but certainly the whole team is Lundqvist, and they don't protect him. You remember the beginning of the year, everybody runs him. Nobody responds. It's just, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think I'm a genius or bright or I'm that smart about it. But my God, how you don't protect your own goalie, your best asset.
I agree. And then when you draft a guy like this guy, Dylan McElgrath, whatever his name is right now. You draft a guy, Ranger fans have been clamoring for Jeff Bookaboom type. You drafted one. Or maybe they say Dion Phaneuf, Shea Weber, whatever. You drafted a guy who's going to clear the crease. Let's be happy.
This is exactly what everyone's been talking about. You've been talking about for years. Jim, me, everybody, you know, we don't have anybody like that. It's been so long, and all these fans going crazy about players that may or may never even play in the National Hockey League. You got a guy that Gordy Clark, who's got a track record. Just look at our drafts the last 3 years. Remember last year, no one wanted Kreider. Everyone said he was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Right now,
yeah.
Kreider looks like the steal of the draft. And you talk about, oh, look how well they're rated. The fish sticks drafted, you know, Tavares, whatever that guy's name is. Did he end up winning Rookie of the Year?
No, he didn't. He wasn't even nominated.
Right. And if our guy hadn't gotten hurt, maybe he would have been a run into the Rookie of the Year. At the beginning of the year, he was having the best year as anybody.
Right. Yeah.
So,
you
know, you just... I don't understand the fans. I don't, you know, I remember talking last year to Jim and Joe and saying, God, we gotta have a lot of faith in the coach because he's the only guy that can pull it together, and he's as nutty as the rest of them. It's a zoo. It's such a zoo. And then you're looking in New York, and the thing that always amazes me is this is New York. Where, you know, everything that we talk about, whether it's money, women, clothes, whatever, humor, we're all New Yorkers, and, you know, and you never give it up, and you look every place else you go to, and Jim will tell you, you leave New York and everybody else is asleep. You wonder how they wake up in the morning. And, you know, and everything in New York, I mean, you know, everything that I did, you guys do. You know, we know, like, you can't bullshit us, don't you can't kind of con men. You know, we invented all the cons and everything else. And yet we got sports teams, the Rangers, with the Dolans, you know, they don't talk to you. They're paranoid. Now they want to date. We think the Knicks are going to get LeBron, but then he's not going to be allowed to talk to the public because nobody's allowed to talk. The guy wants to be the number one athlete in the world. The Dolans don't want to have anybody talk to a player because they follow him around. And the same thing with the Rangers. You know, and Jim, like me, is a Met fan. You know, maybe you're a Yankee fan, so at least you got something to root for. The Mets are just like the Rangers. They overpay for B players, won't pay for A players, and don't understand why no one wants to play for them. Only by accident do things work for them. On that note, it's just good that the call can go, and now I can start calling you guys back. And I got to tell you, as I always say, you guys are such a pleasure living down here in the land of college football only. It's so nice to, you know, to hear hockey and to hear Ranger talk.
Well, we appreciate the call, and it's always great hearing from you. And I'm glad the computer problems are fixed.
Well, that doesn't mean the next time I call, as Jim has experienced, God knows with a computer, they work when, you know, it's like, who the hell knows? Back to the, you know, give me a can and a string. All right, guys, have a great one. Always a pleasure.
Take care, my friend.
Right.
The great Bob. We move on. I've got to press on, Jim. I've got a boatload of callers. I'm sorry. No, I'm only kidding.
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, here we go. Area code 516-902. You're on the air with Jim and Eddie.
What's up? What's going on?
What's going on? Ian? What's your opinion of the Cam Fowler bypassing him and picking whatever his name is? The Undertaker.
I had to call you guys tonight. I just got in from work, so I'm probably going to reiterate whatever you guys talked about earlier today. But I'm a season ticket holder, and I'm upset. I did not like this at all.
Season ticket holders, you're always upset about something.
I dropped four. Listen, I love the Rangers. I'm a diehard Rangers fan, and I dropped $4,000 a year on this team, and I live and die for the Rangers. But I mean, the 10th pick overall, and I was watching the draft at my brother's house, and I was just like, and I saw him, Fowler sitting there. I was like, oh God, this is great. But then when they cut to the table with Sather and Clinton, they're just like looking at each other. I said, this isn't good. They're waiting for somebody to call them and try and trade down with them or something like that, because they're all looking at each other. It's not like they ran up to the podium and just slammed their fist down and said, hey, we're ready to go. Not like when Trepanov, they ran up there for Trepanov. But, you know, and I can't believe, my friend, he said early in the week, he's like, I heard the Rangers are after this guy. I said, there's no way. There's no way they'll go for him. I mean, he's just not a good. He's terrifying in the WHL. He's an enforcer. That's it, though. That is it. He's an enforcer. He is an enforcer. And if they had gotten him in the second round, or if they got him, they traded down to the 30th pick, and they got, like, three picks back for him, or you don't waste your 10 pick on an enforcer. And I've been begging. Like I said, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been begging for a Bookaboom clone. I've been begging for him. But the number 10 pick, you have to draft quality. You have to draft skill and offense.
I just want to say, are you dialing into Skype, Jim? I wanted to say, I felt exactly like you did.
at the draft party. I was like, listen, you got to take best player available, not a guy that fills a need somewhere down the line or a need. So I'm with you on that. But then what happened was is earlier, before you called in, we played – Jim got an audio bite from Gordy Clark. And Gordy Clark said this guy is enforcing – comes not even into it. He says the kid is by far improving. His last half of last year improved. He's a hitter. He's getting faster. He's improving, week by week. They saw and he only will get better. And the kid's still growing.
That's the only thing that's keeping me going, because I trust Gordy Clark. I trust this guy. This guy, he has an eye for talent. But it just doesn't seem that there's much talent there, other than he's 6'4", 200 pounds, and he kills people. You know, it doesn't sound like he's going to be able to skate at an NHL level. I mean, maybe they know something about Cam Fowler that we don't. Maybe they know they got inside information that he was doing cocaine or some hooker's ass down in Tennessee, and that other people don't know about that. And if that's true, then I'm glad. Then I'm glad that they passed on him. But right now, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Hey, Eddie, really quick, hang up on me on this line, and you'll see me on the switchboard on Skype.
Okay, you got it. Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know about the hookers, but listen, that's a good reason. I'm with you 100% on this. Again,
there's all this other stuff going on today, because I follow the Rangers close. I know all their mini prospects. I know you got...
Go ahead.
And when he says Thor and not sign with the Rangers, how come if McDonough's not going to sign, how come we didn't package him with Sanguinetti and get a better return for that? I mean, and I follow Jess Rubenstein in the Prospect Park, and I trust him and everything. And he says, McDonough wants to be a Ranger, but they don't want to give him the contract that he wants. Then why the hell didn't we package him with Sanguinetti? Then you got the Islanders getting Nino. Crew Cabano in the third round, they took a chance on him. They had a good draft, and I don't know. I think this draft is going to go down as bad. I think it's going to go down as bad.
I pray
that this guy's going to be, Booker Boom, like the next Booker Boom. I hope.
I'm going with, there seems to be a Ranger fan contingent of the we trust in Gordy. And until he makes some really stupid-ass moves and that's only going to take time to, we're either going to be praising him or, being down on him too. So, but right now I'm in the trust with Gordy camp, and I know a lot of fans were disappointed. But, listen, these guys are so young. We don't know. Nobody really knows.
Nobody, anybody can turn out to, Cam Fowler could suck, and this guy, McGrath, can turn out to be great. It's a crapshoot. Nobody's gonna know, but
you're exactly right.
I don't feel good.
But you don't
about
feel
it,
satisfied. If they would have gotten Cam Fowler, it would have been the right. But we would all been satisfied because he dropped. You know what it was? It was that anticipation. You know what I'm saying? I mean, had like say, I don't know. Well, I guess it would have happened.
What if somebody offers stole a sheet and he takes it? And then, we got the draft pick now. Yeah, well, who's to say that they draft somebody good, to replace Thor?
Good point. All right. I got to move on. A lot of phone calls tonight. Right. Thank you.
Good talking to you. Take care.
Take care, my friend. As the phone calls keep coming in. Jim, you still got more stories? I'll get these last two calls in, and then we'll go to Jim. Area code 347-515. You're on the air with the Jim and the Mouth.
Hey guys, what's going on?
So the pick, your overall draft views and opinions.
I was about like two steps away from slitting my wrists in the bathroom stall this morning. Seriously.
I mean,
no, but okay. I had like my friends over my place. We were watching the draft. We were super excited. Everybody thought we were going to get some kind of offensive dynamo. And we get Hugh Jessamyn, part two.
Ah, come on, not that bad.
No. Hear me out, though. Because my question is, everybody's on the we trust in Gordy thing. Is there a plan? Because I offered up a question, will we get Tarasenko? Because I thought Tarasenko was a great pick, because he's basically Zverev without the mental retardation. He's big, he's built, he scores goals, he's got that Russian skill. You know, it would have been great. He would have been the replacement to Cherepanov, God rest his soul. But we got this dude. And where that gets me is that the consensus is he's big, he hits, he fights, he enforces, but he can't skate, which is cool because he's like 7'5" and like 3,000 pounds. You know, everybody's going to be a bit of a goofy bastard on skates when you're that size. That's great. But when you have that plan and it's your first round pick, do you really like diverge from the plan that bad to get somebody who you need now? But he's not going to be ready now. He's going to be ready in 4 years. He doesn't fit the plan now. He doesn't.
All right. You've asked a lot of questions, and I think they're valid. Some of
okay.
them. Were you implying that Nikolai Zverev was a head case? I'm only joking about that.
Okay. Well, Nick Zverev didn't try, realistically.
Yeah,
did he put his mind to it? No. Did he have the skill? Yeah.
I think he did have mental retardation, is what I'm saying. Now, but, Jim, I want you to answer this because you talked to Gordy Clark, and you know more about this guy than I know, and maybe you can help this caller with his queries. A query, I mean by question, nothing about sexual preference. Go ahead. Jim, are you there? Holy cow. What did I do?
Hey, where in Queens are you from?
I'm on Long Island, unfortunately. Jim?
Hello?
Jim, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I didn't put you on. I'm sorry. That was my fault.
You had me on hold.
Yeah. Did you have, did you hear the caller's questions?
He was asking, what's the plan?
Yeah, and he was saying he's a big, goofy guy and the whole cascade.
Okay. Let me give you – I can give you a little bit of insight as to what the Rangers – one of the things they are trying to do, and Gordy made a point of this. And, again, we'll try and put together the audio a little better for you guys, maybe for Tuesday night. Eddie's the engineer when it comes to that stuff. I still haven't figured out how to use that program correctly. But anyway, what the Rangers are leaning towards – is they want to draft these guys that have Canadian juniors experience, okay? They feel that they like these guys that come up through the Canadian juniors because they feel like they're closer to being NHL ready to play, and that's the thinking. That much I can answer you. As far as why they took McElrath, I gave the, you know, we played that clip from Gordy Clark in the beginning, and that kind of, you know, gave you an idea of why they liked him. And I don't think he's 4 years away from being ready. I think he's probably 2 years away.
Okay.
Hold on.
I remember sitting there with Jess, and Jess said the plan was that we pick these guys they're going to become part of our Tortorella. Hard skating, very fast, puck possession team. And then we go from all that, which was great because we got Kreider, Werth, and Bork last draft, which was superb. It was a great year for them. And then we went this year to picking, I don't really know who has any of those qualities other than Jasper, who we got in like the sixth round, who may not even play in the NHL.
Well, I think what they envision is a team that will have, yes, the fast skating guys, the players like Ethan Werrick, who are kind of like you know Adam Graves type of players, and then they're going to have a tough they're piecing the pieces of the puzzle for 4 years down the road where they're going to need a guy who's going to be able to clear that crease. And though I agree with again, this part of me leans to, like you don't take that guy in the first round, but again. I'd like to get – Jim, did you talk to Jess? Did he have any opinion on this pick? What was his lowdown? Jimmy? What the heck is going on here? I don't know what's going on. We're losing callers up and down. But thank you for your question and your comments. I don't know. You know, listen, I was at that party, bro, and the people were, like, up in arms. They were flipping out.
That was basically the scene at my house, dude.
I mean, it was just like, what? And then the Fire Say the chance went up, and I felt bad because Kreider and Bork and Werrick were there, and they got to see the hostile part of the Ranger fan. They got a baptism by fire. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, now they know to try that much harder.
Yeah, if that is an incentive, nothing is. Thank you for the call. Seriously. I really appreciate it.
Take it easy.
Take care. Well, I don't know where Jim has gone. I'm doing this show with only 14 minutes left, and I have no co-pilot. I'm scared. Let me see. Hold on. I got another. Let's see who this is. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio, 623-313.
That's me again. I'm literally sitting in the NHL media workroom, and the NHL just came in and turned off the internet.
Ah, you gotta be kidding. The NHL sucks balls. Seriously, let's go. It's ridiculous.
I said to the guy, can I have 15 more minutes? I said, I got 15 minutes left in this goddamn radio show that I'm trying to do without constantly having to interrupt. No, we gotta go. Thanks for nothing. So, I had to call you back on the phone. Unbelievable.
I figured that was you, but I had to make sure. All right. We must press on. We have things to do. We have 12 minutes left. Because I'm telling you, I have a feeling there's a lot more stories, and maybe we'll save them for Tuesday, Jim, but we'll try to get into it. Area code 352-200-200. You're on the air with Jim and Eddie.
Eddie, you forgot my number, man. Hey, what's up?
Hey,
what's
James.
What's up, James? How are you?
All right. I haven't spoken to you guys in a while.
Hey, James. Yeah, it's good to have you back. Eddie, let me answer one of your questions really quick.
Sure.
Jess Rubenstein said that McElrath was a great pick.
Oh, so all you Jess Rubenstein fans have been calling in saying bad pick. Jess likes him.
Jess likes him, and he thinks that the guy they got in the fourth round, who we have the audio of as well, Vogan, thinks he could turn out to be the steal of the draft.
Oh, I like that.
I don't think
he was Jogan?
Too crazy.
What's his call? Jogan?
Jogan. I just shut my computer off because I had no friggin' internet. Thank you, NHL. And so I don't have the information right in front of me now. But I think it was Jogan, and I think the audio, we have the audio from his press conference, which was pretty good. He's actually, James, I don't know if you watched the draft today, but the kid they took in the fourth round, he's from Boca Raton. That was my first question to him. I said, how the hell did a kid from Boca Raton end up playing hockey? And he laughed about it. He was a pretty entertaining kid. He had a good story about how he wound up in hockey and he played for the Junior Panthers and blah, you know, and his whole family's down there and how they're looking forward to, you know, when he plays in Florida and they can all go see him and everything. So yeah, hopefully we'll have that audio for you Tuesday night. We'll have more time to play it. But that answers the question as to what Jess Rubenstein thought about the pick. James, welcome back to you.
Hey, man, like everybody says, you know, it's a crapshoot. I mean, we mentioned it before, man. We had Brendel, number four, and he was a can't miss, and everybody loved the pick. And what did the guy play in the NHL? A handful of games.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and
I mean,
he was around the NHL. It wasn't like the Rangers, you know, just thought he was going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, and this kid here, I'm checking up some stats here. I don't know if it makes a big difference in the, you know, in the minors there or whatever. I mean, he's a plus 20. I mean, he's a big kid. I mean, we don't have anybody. I mean, we have some defensemen still down there. Of course, we brought some up, and they are pretty, you know, some of them are offensive-minded. And if this kid isn't, I mean, if he's a stay-at-home defenseman and he's going to be a nasty knock-you-down-in-your-face type player, hey, I'm all for it. We don't have anything like that around anywhere.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I just want to, he says, James, I don't know if you saw the video we put up on Blue Shirt Banner. We had a 5-minute video of his press conference, and he had 19 fighting majors last year. So he said he likes to drop the gloves. He likes to protect his teammates, and he And he said, and I quote, "I'm looking forward to doing it in the NHL."
Yeah, and I see he's nicknamed the Big Mac Truck, too.
Yeah. He's got more nicknames than Apollo Creed.
Yeah, and you got, I mean, Chris Katsopoulos on the Facebook there, he said he liked the pick.
Well, of course. He's right. Like the best of height at the top he's playing. All right, now, before I get into – I got to do this Ranger roll call because we have some – You know, this is a gathering of epic proportions, ladies and gentlemen, here. So I'm going to go through it quick, and if you people don't know what this is, it's really a bunch of internet whack. What is it?
I said, what'd you say? If you don't know what it is, stand back.
Stand back, because we're about to do the Mouth Ranger Radio Roll Call.
Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
The new age is upon us. 2010 draft is over, and the Undertaker is all ours. Mr. Dylan Micklegrass, or Mike McGrath, whoever that guy from that band was. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ranger Radio Blue Shirt Bandit chat room. In the chat room, up atop is Miss or Mrs. Anne-Marie Adrian. Welcome to the show, Anne-Marie. You're our first time, and hopefully you'll be a long time to this crazy, wacky show, which features Ranger information and a little bit of levity. City Hockey Fever, the man keeping it real in the field, talking puck constantly, pulls over people on his street corner and says, "Hey, you want to learn about hockey? I'm the man." And then sometimes gets arrested when the kids are too young. I'm only kidding. Anyway, Kyle Okada 17. When I think of Kyle Okada, I think of ricotta. And when I think of ricotta, I think of ricotta cheese, which makes me think about raviolis. And I love me some raviolis. And then Cutter, the Maple Leaf. He is our staunch representative in the province of Ontario, waving his Canadian and Toronto banners at the same time, saying, "Listen to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. It's the best radio program in the United States." My God, he actually reports to people. They actually talk hockey on a good level in the United States, because everybody in Canada thinks Americans don't know jack, and guess what? And they're predominantly right. And there's Froze99. Yes, a big fan of Frosty. Well, not only that, a big fan of Frosty. He's a big fan of Bob Froze. Bob Froze is now an ordained minister. I believe a Mennonite. Maybe that's why he can't read my mail that I sent him to try to get him on the show. Maybe they're forbidden with lights. Oh, Mennonites can read with lights. That rhymes, and that's where I'm going to end. George E's, or George I's. I don't know, George, you got a good name. Eyes is a very short name. It reminds you of the shortest name ever in hockey. Ed Kia or Ed Mio? You take your pick. We've got about 15 guests in here. I have to say thank you for coming into the show and listening to the show. It's not over yet. Don't leave. Jay of the Dead, one of the all-time greats. He'll come in and slug it out and talk it out with anybody. And he'll never back down, just like Dylan Micklegrass, whose nickname, The Undertaker. Oh, I said that already. Jolton Joe Micheletti, who is still not happy about this pick. He wants Cam Fowler. He loves Cam Fowler. He wants to have Cam Fowler's baby. I don't know about that. We'll find out if he's right or not as we take the crystal ball. Jonathan from Australia. Jonathan, I love you. You're one of my biggest fans. I'm one of your biggest fans. You are the thunder from down under. And I can't believe that you follow this blunder called the New York Rangers. John Newman, who hosted a 30-person gathering today, this afternoon at Cafe 31, right across from the garden. Everybody had a good time. John Newman said to me before the show that Coast of the Crazy, the Greek, Coast of the Crazy Greek is one of the funniest dudes he's ever met. And I got to say, I do regret being there because Costa was one of the guys that I really wanted to meet. And I'm glad you guys all had a good time at the Cafe 31 Facebook crowd. We love you. Critical, the soft-spoken Critical. Holy cow. He's so soft-spoken, it's almost like he's whispering. But when he speaks in volumes, loud volumes. Listen to his words. He hasn't called in years. The Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger. One of the best names, as I've said on Facebook, ever created for this great chat room. Mario M., another great guy, fantastic, knows his puck like nobody else, tremendously informed fan, and one of the all-time great Hoosier Bandit radio participants, Nick Montemagno. Montemagno, Montemagno. I don't know, it's Gigantor theme, and for some reason I've got Montemagno in it. NTB1, another guy who knows his stuff, his beeswax. We love what he contributes in his hockey chat room that we call Blue Shirt Banner Radio. New York True Blue, I love it. True Blue, you got to be True Blue. Who else are you going to root for in this metropolitan area? The Devils? The Fish Sticks with the big wang and the little wang? Stay New York True Blue, and you'll get along with this crew. Quick Release is also in here. Quick Release. You know, we like to make the easy joke, but we're not going to make the easy joke. I'm just going to say, hats off to you, Quick Release. We love you. All right. Now that we're done with that and the show is almost over.
Is that the end of the roll call? Because I can't see the chat room. All right. I have an announcement to make. Lost in the draft and everything else. But today, June 26, 2010, is our one-year anniversary for Blue Shirt Banner Radio. How about a little applause? Give us the applause. Give us something.
Give us something. I got Animal House. Okay, here we go.
It was 1 year ago tonight that we took to the airwaves with, I think, Stan from Bayside and maybe Bob from Miami found us by accident. And here we are a year later and a cast of 30.
I'm telling you, I love it, man, and we appreciate everything. We say this every week, but we really do. You guys freaking rule. Now, James, you were like kind of like my friends that don't really follow the Rangers too much, and I'm not saying that you don't, but the older guys, they love this pit. When they read that this guy was a mean guy, because we've just seen so much of guys getting pushed around, and you know, maybe it's going to happen 5 years down the line. Who knows? We'll all be 50 by then, or blah, you know. But I they were happy, and I think I sense that's what you're happy about. That, you know, listen, Henrik is just getting run too much.
Yeah, well, remember we were talking about, I mean, during the season, and when we saw Gabby get his ass kicked, and nobody stepped in, and we see Henrik getting run, and nobody does anything about it. You know, maybe this kind of guy is a guy we need. You know, like you said, even if it's somewhere down the road, I mean, you know, you're going to need that toughness. You always need that toughness. And it doesn't matter, you know, if it's now. I mean, yeah, we'd like to have it now. But if this kid's, you know, hopefully good enough and, you know, he's, like you say, he's one of these Bookaboom kind, man, and he's going to not take crap from anybody. That'll be great for us.
Yep. Okay. We have 90 seconds left. I mean, time went so quick here, Jim. I felt like I didn't even ask you, like, you know, who was a douche, who wasn't a douche. Maybe give us a quick teaser. Maybe should we save it for the next show? I mean, we're going to be talking to these guys, Tuesday.
We'll be back Wednesday night, but I'll tell you something else real
Tuesday
quick.
Tuesday or
after,
Wednesday? What are we doing?
We're
Tuesday
doing Wednesday night. Wednesday night, right. 8 o'clock.
Wednesday
I will
night.
Tell you. Oh. Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, I will tell you this. I made, after, when I was leaving the ESPN zone, remember I said Doug McClain was sitting near us?
Former Panther coach, former Black Blue Jackets?
Right. He had a woman who was sitting with him, and she was watching me, and after a while she came over and said, "Are you doing a radio show?" And I said, "Yes." And when I was packing everything up over there, she came over and introduced herself. She is a PR person for the London Knights in the OHL. So I talked to her, and that's possible contact. I don't know if the Rangers have anybody on that team, but if they do, she said they'd be glad to provide them for us. So So that's a good thing. I'll get into who's a douche because it's a good story. I got a couple of good stories. We'll get into all of it on Wednesday night, upon my return to Phoenix and everything.
All right, Wednesday night at 8, we'll see you. Here's this song for Gordy Clark.
Happy anniversary, bitches.
Hey, Eddie, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, so
I'm here.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I don't know what happened. It looks like it's showing that I closed out that window, but was still on.
Oh man!
So anyway,
good talk to you guys. I've been missing you.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah,
we've missed you.
Yeah, man. I mean, between getting home late and a few other things, I'm still trying to get back to New York, and so many things going on, and it's like then I'll forget that. I'll forget that Wednesday. Then I'll think it's Wednesday again. I'll see you guys did a Tuesday. I'll say, oh shit, I missed yesterday. Or I'll get home like with the last maybe 10 minutes to go, and I'll just put it on there and listen on the computer. But yeah, it's been a while.
Eddie,
I talked to Jets, and I was trying to get him on to come on the show tonight, but he's got some family here in LA that he was going to spend some time with before he has to go back to Oregon tomorrow. But he sent me a very nice email and said, I'm really sorry I can't do the show. He says, but I want to make it up to you. I'll come on whenever you want. So I was thinking maybe we could get him on Wednesday night, and we'll run down what he thinks. He can give us a nice rundown of each pick, and then maybe we could play the Gordy Clark thing, which is about 12 minutes long, and it's Gordy running down, every pick and why they took him, and we could do the whole thing. And Jets, he's a good guy. He is. Like I said, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He knows his shit, and it was fun to hang out with him.
Well, can you? All right, I'll talk to you. Well, are you able to call me after the show?
Yeah, I can call you.
Yeah, I'd like to find out who's a douche. James, you want to know who's a douche?
Who's a douche?
Well, then it's going to be on the podcast, and then we spoil the surprise.
All right, okay.
For Wednesday. Well, I'm sorry, James. You'll have to wait.
I know. No problem. Hey, were there many of them, or just a few?
There was just a few. One very recognizable. It was mostly one that was very recognizable, and then there were just a couple other little instances. But they're probably people you don't know because they're part of the SB Nation network.
Okay.
But I'll tell you who's really. Oh, and I didn't say this on the air, but I did mention it to Eddie. We're gonna have at some point. I got to email him. We're gonna have Peter McNabb on the show.
Really?
Yeah, he was. Cool. I met him. I was talking to him for like a half an hour. He is one funny motherfucker, and dropping F bombs like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's just funny.
And he's still doing Avalanche games, right?
Yeah.
He covers the Avalanche. He does their. I think he does their color analysis. But
yeah, I'm
a really nice guy. And I just talked to him for a little while, and he remembered who I was. Like, all weekend, he kept running into me, and hello, Jim. How are you? Really nice guy, so I'm looking forward to talking to him.
I couldn't stand him as a devil announcer, though. He was 94. But we can let bygones be bygones for a broadcast.
Yeah, and you guys, I mean, awesome. I mean, listening to you guys with Nyland, man, that was excellent. Nyland, oh man, he has some screws loose. That was great. I enjoyed that. I didn't get to hear it live, so I just listened to it a couple days ago. But yeah, it was excellent.
James, he didn't just have some screws loose; he had a few. He had a few bottle caps loose too, if you know what I mean.
He sounds like a lot of people that I know. I'm telling you, I'm listening to him. He sounds like I know this guy.
The funniest part of that whole interview is, and only like two other people picked up on it, is that he's talking to us. And he was pretty okay, and then he says, "Okay, I'm driving through the mountains. I'm on my way home.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you in a little while." And then he calls us when he gets home, and he's bombed. I mean, it was like, so I had like three people send me a message. He must have been pounding beer in his car on the way home. I'm like, yeah, I know.
And I heard him talking to you guys, and then I heard him like saying something like in the background a little bit too, or it was somebody talking to him. Then right at the end, he's like, "Oh, I got to cook my fish now. I got to go." And so I was like,
"Yeah,
he's yelling
at his girlfriend. He's I don't know what he's yelling at the paper boy."
He's a character, man. I'm telling you, that guy's a real character, I tell you.
Bit of a wackadoo, that's for sure.
Tell it like it is, you know, the uncensored, whatever they say comes right out of their mouth. That's what I like.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. I got a mambo. Do you want, Jim, when should I call you?
I'll call you as soon as I hang up. After I hang up, I'll shut everything down in here, and I'll call you.
Okay.
All right, guys. I'll let you go. Have a good one. I'll talk to you this week.
Take care,
James. All right,
James.
Guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Eddie, give me like 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, bye.